What if you could be a superhero? Dave here from DC On Screen. If you love this show and you want to see it continue and thrive, please be sure to visit iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a 5-star written review. The process is faster than a speeding bullet. You don't even have to wear tights or a cape. I mean, you can, if you're into that kind of thing. No judgment. What's important is that you tell the world what you like about the show and why you think they should be listening too. It really does go a long way in helping our show grow and expand, pushing us into more people's eye and ear holes. That was a weird way to put that. By the way, leaving a 5-star written review gets you entered into a drawing to win a free DC trade paperback DVD or Blu-ray valued at $15 or less. 1 in 10 will win and will be chosen through a true number generator on random.org. Think of it as our version of that antiquated sexist moment where the superhero saves the girl and she gives him a little jaw sugar. Alright, begging is over. Time for a brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 318. This is our weekly DCEU news episode. I say weekly, we weren't here last week. I am your host, David C. Robertson. I'm your host, David C. Robertson, and I used to be in a fight club.
That sounds
this
fun.
This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hi.
You ever bust a man's lip open for the sheer hell of it, Jason?
Nope. The closest I've ever come to bloodshed was my dog popping me in the head with her giant walnut head.
Well, to be fair, I haven't busted a man's lip open for the sheer hell of it either.
It makes a nice quote, Paul.
I don't know. My roommate, Jason, Jeremy, he bought all this, like, boxing equipment and in college and decided he wanted to start a fight club and got me to go along with it. Ah. He also got my brother-in-law, Spencer, who's, you know, about a foot and a half shorter than I am, to agree to do it. And our friend Chris, who was basically a Greek god. Chris whipped all of... Well, he and I never fought. I don't remember. I know he fought Jeremy and they busted each other's lips open.
No.
But
I never got close to any of that. I did wrestle between middle school and junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And in middle school, I did great, actually. Got some medals and everything. And then, as puberty set in, the odds were against me.
Ah.
I suddenly went from, like, state medal championships to being able to pretty much recite what the ceiling of any gym in my immediate area looked like. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think the only person I actually fought was Spencer, was my brother-in-law. He wasn't my brother-in-law at the time. And our friend Shu, who was our roommate, he was a Chinese exchange student. He was just screaming at me during the whole fight, because Spencer was dating my sister at the time. He was like, "You remember, he have sex with your sister." I'm like, "No, he didn't."
You insightful little man, stop it. I thought he was going to be like me watching a football game, like, shake him in the eye.
No. She's over there screaming, "He will never marry her. He has sex with her. He will never marry. Shut up, Shu."
I like his style.
All right. So, first up, we have a few announcements before we jump into the news. We wanted to wish our friend Christopher White a happy belated birthday. His birthday was February 1st. Chris was the first listener to ever contact us on the show. He's pretty much been there from the beginning. He's the first listener we hung out with in real life, and he's the first to send in reviews of his own for us to feature on the show. Mm. Our first in-person crossover with Scott of the DC Squad, of the Suicide Squad cast. Chris was there. He came to see the Killing Joke with us, traveled from North Carolina.
Yep.
To Alabama to see it with us. He's a good man. He's a good friend.
Came in there and uncomplainingly locked himself in a car with us to do a review.
Yeah, he did. And if all we ever got out of doing this show was his friendship, it was worth it.
Still good stuff. Yeah.
It's funny. I didn't realize.
That is close to all we've actually gotten out of this. Friendships.
Friendships,
yes. We have garnered friendships. Greatly appreciated, but.
But yeah, I didn't realize that we might be taking a break last week. And we always do birthday announcements after the birthday. And had I realized we were going to skip last week, I would have made a note to wish Chris a happy birthday 2 weeks ago.
No, this is like a nice little extra surprise at the end of your.
Yeah. And Chris and I were talking, and apparently his wife asked if we wished him a happy birthday on the show, and he goes, no, but they wished Aquaman a happy birthday, so I know where I friggin' rank.
Well, I am more afraid of Aquaman. nothing personal, there's... just, you know, God of the water.
Right. There is a really fun podcast out there called Nerd Talkalypse. They are celebrating their 1 year anniversary this week. Deej Penhollow, one of the hosts on that show, has been a listener of ours for quite a long time. He's told me we inspired them to start podcasting.
Awesome.
He's asked for advice over the past year, and I've honestly seen them really come into their own as podcasters. I suggest you go check those cats out. Happy birthday to Nerd Talkalypse. And lastly, we have a wonderful listener in the Netherlands named Eli Ophelder. Eli is a very smart, very funny guy. He's got a lot going for him. We've been meaning to have him on this show for months and months, and we haven't done it yet. He just started a podcast called Stealing the Remote. It's a brilliant idea for a podcast. He steals the remote and makes his mother watch movies she would otherwise never watch. Then they review it. He has one episode up, a review of Man of Steel. He and his mom are charming as hell. Her responses to Man of Steel are candid and interesting. I absolutely recommend checking that one out. I happen to know the review of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. The Ultimate Edition is coming soon. He won't always stick to DC. But yeah. He's doing it for the first couple.
Yeah.
So please go give him some encouragement and downloads. Stealing the Remote. He's like 20 years old. Go help the kid out.
Yeah.
His mother's great. He's like, this is the only woman I can trust in my life, my mother. And she goes, he's like, introduce yourself. And she says, I am his mother. Just cracked me the
right
hell
to
up.
The point.
An interesting. Yeah. It's a cool podcast. Okay. So, on to news. The primary reason that, you know, we're all here, gathered.
Yeah.
Hunkered around the old-timey radio.
Yeah.
Aria Moffley has been promoted to Vice President of Creative Affairs at DC Entertainment. She used to work in features for Hollywood Gang Productions as a development executive. She's played a big role in development across the board at DC. She helped develop Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, iZombie, Gotham, Lucifer, and Powerless. The DC Superhero Girls universe. Jeff Johns.
Yeah, that's nearly across the board.
That's what I said, across the board.
Nice. I mean, Jeff Johns. What's that short, like, action? That's it.
Yeah. Jeff Johns made the announcement. He said, Aria is an unbelievably talented leader within my creative affairs team, and her development expertise and vast knowledge of DC has been key to the success we've had with the studio. As DC's slates continue to rapidly expand, I'm excited to have Aria by my side, developing even more DC projects. So that's happened, and
hey, can't fault lack of experience here.
Mm-mm. And what's more is, I don't know her personally or what she's given the yes or no to, but she was wearing an old school Batman T-shirt in the picture they had on the site.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's as good as anything else you can get on these kinds of things. Like, somebody that's getting promoted to, like, VP of Creative Affairs, we don't know their resume. I mean, we know what they worked on, but we don't know if they, like, stepped in a room for 5 minutes and gave a bad idea, or if they were the entire reason the show was good.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
You just have to kind of tease out and guess.
Fingers crossed, guys.
Yep.
Fingers crossed. So Arnold Schwarzenegger might be coming to Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Patty Jenkins and Jeff Johns followed Arnold on Twitter. And it might have also had to do with, like, a political back and forth with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Something about the I don't know. What the hell is this thing?
I only heard it briefly. I think it was like Trump made fun of Celebrity Apprentice's drop in ratings.
That's
since
right.
Schwarzenegger took over, and Schwarzenegger said, well, if you'd like to trade jobs. I'm paraphrasing all that.
Yeah, something like that. So it may have been because of that, but for Jeff Johns and Patty Jenkins, it's a little...
It is. And this Twitter following thing has proven to be pretty reliable, as you pointed out.
Absolutely. So I wouldn't mind seeing Arnold pop in there as something. I always enjoy seeing him pop up in movies. Looks like Total Film is putting out a new picture of the Justice League. It's Aquaman, Wonder Woman out in front, and Cyborg with his sonic cannon. They look badass. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're standing inside of a Kryptonian ship, or at the very least an alien ship. Looks Kryptonian to me. I don't know. Did you see this thing?
I did. And that's about as good as I could do with the description. It looks badass. Probably a ship.
And like I've seen a couple of, you know, pissy comments about it. Like, what does Cyborg look like a Transformer? And then over it, what's it? I can't remember the name.
Who's
it's
in the what's it?
Death, birth, movies, or
no? Oh, yeah,
movies, death, birth, or whatever the hell that
movies,
stupid
death
website
or something?
Is.
I don't know.
They were like, Cyborg has a weird-ass hand. That is his hand, right? I'm like, oh, shut the hell up. You don't know anything about anything. Assholes.
Don't hold back, Dave.
Well, you know, their founder, Devin, you know, who's always yelling about how, you know, DC sucks and, oh, women are... you know, put out, and he's real social justice warrior for women, and then it turned out, like, someone actually called him out and been like, hey, so you're, like, a huge sexual harasser who harassed me, and he, like, stepped away and says, I have personal problems, bye!
Ah.
So now, like, they've delved even further into, like, the clickbait bullshit, but whatever. So the couple of things, this picture is so badass, is all I'm saying, is that they're just picking it apart, like, he looks like a Transformer, he's a robot, he's a cyborg.
He is a Transformer.
He kind of is a Transformer. It's okay.
Just is.
And that is a sonic cannon. You know, if you want to call it what was it originally? The white noise cannon?
Oh, back God. In the old days? Long since forgotten.
if you want to call it that, you can call it that. But yeah, it's a thing he has.
It's a cannon attached to the man's arm. Can't we all be happy with that? Isn't that enough for right now? For
it's
a still frame
material,
a year before the movie comes out?
Yeah, it's called source material accuracy, guys. Get on board. Anyway, so moving on, someone on Twitter asked when we were going to get the Justice League trailer. Gal Gadot responded, haha, soon. So, hey, guys.
My movie's coming out soon?
Well, no, they said, I'm over here hoping for a Justice League trailer during the Super Bowl, and Gal Gadot said, haha, soon. So, Justice League, baby. Justice League.
All right. I do. I want another trailer. The first one was cool, but it's time. I want a little more footage. Feed me.
I mean, some people think, I thought it was probably going to be on the Lego Batman movie. Nope. So, the next big tentpole is, you know, Kong.
I guess.
March 10th.
I mean, I didn't actually expect it for Lego Batman. I thought they'd skew towards kids. And they did.
Yeah. Skewed towards kids. I don't think there was a kid in our theater. It was just me laughing.
Well, not Thursday at like 7:40, no. Yeah. Thursday at 5, I think we probably missed all the kids on like the way out.
Yeah, maybe.
There was an exodus of children.
Oh, I mean, the movie's made plenty. We'll get to that, though. Mm-hmm. So Lawrence Fishburne... Lawrence Fishburne was talking about not being in Justice League. Again, negative clickbait will try to lead you to believe that he decided to opt out of Justice League because of, you know, the quality of the film. Fishburne says, they asked me to come for a day, but I couldn't work it out schedule-wise. And really, what do you need the newspaper man in Justice League for? You want to see The Flash. You want to see Aquaman. You want to see Wonder Woman. You want to see The Lantern. And everyone's
just hanging,
well, not everyone,
hanging it out there about the lantern.
Yeah, people are freaking out about the lantern, think that's indication. No, no, it's not. He doesn't know. He's not even in the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fishburne goes on.
The man
on,
was too busy to get there for a day. Surely he doesn't have that much inside information about this film.
Yeah, yeah.
You think he's like hanging out back by the dumpster smoking crack with Army Hammer and being like, hey man, when are you going to show up?
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
I don't know. I don't, you know, maybe he is. I don't, but anyway, I don't think
so. Tom Cruise is Snapchatting him on set pics? No, sir. No, sir.
So Fishburne goes on to say, we've been waiting 35 years for these characters to show up on the screen. What were they doing over there? Marvel has been kicking their ass. This is the comic book geek in me who has a collection of comic books. I've been waiting to see these people on screen forever. Dude, that's fair, but shut up. 35 years. Okay, first of all, 35 years. That's an excessively long time to be talking about Marvel kicking anybody's ass, because Marvel's only been kicking ass since 08.
I thought that's what he, it sounded like that's what he meant, was like they've been kicking their ass on like on-screen portrayal of the big team.
Well, yeah, he says, what were they doing over there? Marvel's been kicking their ass. But he says, we've been waiting 35 years for these characters to show up. Well, most of these characters have been around for like 75 years, at least. So we've been waiting that long to see them show up in a source material capacity on screen.
I just thought he meant, like, we've been waiting 35 years to see a Justice League, and, like, I've already got the Avengers. So, like, come on, guys, catch the fuck up.
I mean, yeah,
I didn't take it as 35 years of kicking their ass.
Well, you know. It's just, I'm just wanting to point out that Marvel has only been around doing this since 08. And, I mean, part of that time, you know, Warner Brothers was making all the fanboys happy putting out the Dark Knight trilogy, so. And apparently the fanboys are all over that, because, like, oh yeah, we want a gritty, realistic Batman who wouldn't have anything to do with the Justice League. What the hell are you talking about? Why? Anyway.
I don't hold that, like, I have problems with those films, but I actually don't hold anyone accountable for that thought. Like, you know what? Great. Happy for you. You got your three films. Now I want to see them with everybody else.
Right. But, you know, no one's clickbait tweeting on this. They asked, as a comic book geek, were you surprised at how quick fans and critics were to jump all over Batman v Superman? Fishburne says, look, I love what Zack Snyder does. Jesse Eisenberg, this little nebbish guy as Lex Luthor, for me, that's a genius move. And the whole thing with Martha Kent and Martha Wayne, I don't know, man. I must be sentimental, but that's some heartwarming stuff to me. So I don't get it. Yeah. So that doesn't, you know, exactly jibe with the clickbait titles of DC has been fish burned.
Oh god, I'm sure they did that too, didn't they?
I saw that, yes.
Oh fuck me.
Yeah.
Actually, so, I'm totally with him on point one and only about half with him with point two. It's still my only main contention that point could have been done better.
Oh man, whatever. I saw a great meme online where it was the Martha scene from BVS, and it says, what happens when, you know, you have, when your mom shares Batman's mom's name. And then there's a picture of Ben Affleck in the Batman cowl drinking with Jason Momoa and laughing, and it says, what happens when both of your dads are named Thomas?
Well played.
Right?
Yeah.
Mark Hughes at Forbes was teasing a new article that he put out, that he was about to put out. So he was going to be answering some questions about Batman and whatnot. Now, we know that there was a whole press conference where a bunch of reporters went to the Justice League set, and Mark Hughes has said that he saw some Atlantis concept art. And someone asked, what that was like. And he says, I can answer that right now. Imagine Game of Thrones underwater and with a hint of Avatar. That's the best I can describe it.
Not bad.
Yeah, that sounds pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some in development preview, of the Batman Justice League suit has been released. It's just like a little CGI model mock-up of the Batman suit from Justice League. It, you know, looks pretty much exactly like the BVS suit, except with some added layering, some little armor bits, and the little transitionary goggles I'm assuming that everyone's been talking about, you know, a lot of people have been negatively talking about. I kind of dig it. I think it's a cool little evolutionary step toward the goggles in the nightmare sequence from BVS.
Yeah, that could work. It's just well established that he has eyewear. Can't hold it against him.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a new piece talking about Justice League always being meant to be, or always having meant to be brighter. I didn't say that right, but whatever. Damon Caro, the second unit director.
Basically across, I think. We can go.
Yeah. Damon Caro, I'm going to say Caro, second unit director, says the film is a rebirth of hope. He says the arc was Batman v Superman was the midway point and the darker movie. Hence, what happens at the end. The whole tone of it was darker. If you play your story all at one level, there are no peaks and valleys. There's no life. The great stories, the Greek tragedies, even life, we have to be knocked down before we can build our way up. Justice League was always the rebirth of hope and the rise. He went on to compare Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Justice League to the Star Wars trilogy, with BVS being Empire Strikes Back. And in fact, this isn't the first time we've heard any of this. Chris Terrio described BVS as the Empire Strikes Back. What was it, back in March? Is that right?
That's been so long now. I mean, since...
Pre-BVS.
We're going on nearly a year now of people mm-hmm. saying that it's going to get brighter here just in a minute. Just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Through one format or the other.
Yeah.
He says they were people even saying it just before the movie came out.
Yeah. Caro says people try to say that it's a response to the backlash, and I definitely say that criticisms were heard, but it's not like we threw everything out and started with a blank slate. It's a bit like Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. Dark movie, but then Return of the Jedi is the rise and the rebuilding of hope. So, I mean, this has been going on for a while. You know, calm down, guys.
The word rebirth okay. shouldn't be lost on anyone.
And when I say calm down, I don't mean calm down like you guys should get angrier. You know how, like, if you're, like, annoyed with something and then a loved one says, calm down, and it makes you angrier?
Oh, yeah. No, been there many times.
I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it that way. I mean, like, hey, man, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be cool. We're going to be all
Have
right.
Have a beer.
It's going to be fine.
We're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I swear we'll have a cinematic universe one day.
Yeah.
Even if this doesn't work out.
I just want total one we film. Can all agree on, for God's sake.
No, that's never going to happen.
But
as
a
I've
lot
said
of
many
us
times before.
Can agree on.
There are so many versions of all of these characters. Like the big points, the big characters, like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. I don't think they're... we're ever going to get a consensus.
Even
I mean,
the Trinity has so many versions of their singular characters that it's impossible, but you know, just something that's a little more. I would just like more people to be happy with it. That's all. That's what it really comes down to.
I've talked about this before. You know, the guy used to do the radio show with Steve West,
mm-hmm.
Entertainment Roundtable, still around. You can check that out at Screensplosion. But Steve West watched Batman v Superman with a friend of his, and they were talking about it afterward, and she said, they were talking about Wonder Woman, and she's like, oh, that was supposed to be Wonder Woman? I'm sorry, it wasn't Linda Carter.
What wasn't clear about that?
I don't know. I really don't.
Did the giant W crescent on the breastplate there not do it? Or the shield?
Know. I
or
guess
the,
she didn't.
The golden lasso didn't tip you off?
Probably because she didn't, like, spin around and the music didn't go, Wonder Woman!
Although, it might have actually gotten a better fan reaction if they had stopped to do Wonder Woman.
Maybe.
Really?
But I mean, as we said maybe. Last week...
Might have seemed like the film didn't take itself so seriously for a second.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I've been having a lot of like crisis of faith moments this week mm-hmm. since I realized that they lifted a particularly, you know, bad set of lines out of Batman and Robin for this movie. We talked about it last time. The she with you. I thought she was with you.
Yep. I know. That was painful. Oh. You told me about it, and I kind of thought, oh, shit. He's right.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me as so bad a line when they did it, but it still wasn't their best work.
I didn't like it when they did it. That's one of my least favorite things. Because I'm like, Batman, you know who she's with. Why are you saying I thought she was with you? Because you've been having this little cat and mouse game the entire movie.
Yeah, I would just appreciate it if they'd like looked at each other a little suspiciously and then looked away and kind of shrugged and like squared up to fight. Just, okay, whatever.
Anyway, so Total Film is purportedly confirming that Victor Stone, a.k.a. Cyborg, is a mother box. I thought we already knew this.
I don't know. I've lost track now, because that little bit in BVS is so clearly a mother box that I don't know what to do with myself. And there's clearly a mother box in the Justice League trailer that we have already.
Well, they've shown two mother boxes in the Justice League trailer, and we knew that there were three. There was one for the Atlanteans, one for the Amazonians, and one for the humans. And it's very clear to me, and it was always very clear to me, that Cyborg was the mother. I mean, sorry, the human mother box. But anyway, Total Film is talking about this and says, it likens, and I think correctly at this point, you know, if we don't, I'm sorry if this pisses you off, but they say it's the mother boxes are MacGuffins like Marvel's Infinity Stones, where Steppenwolf is going to be after the mother boxes in the movie. I think Cyborg is probably going to become, like, you know, the thing to protect over the course of the film. Like, yeah, he's a badass, but can we, like, not let them take him because he's a mother box?
Oh, can we call that now? The cliffhanger for Justice League 1 is him getting abducted?
Maybe. You can call it.
I'll call that in case I'm right.
All right, do it.
So it be called.
Called be. Zack Snyder.
Second it.
Zack Snyder was talking to Total Film. He said, he was talking about the dynamic of the team. He says, one of the more rewarding aspects of creating Justice League was having fun exploring the dynamic between this diverse group of larger-than-life characters with disparate backgrounds, ethics, and unique perspectives, all trying to come together and work as a team. It not only offers an opportunity for great drama and complex relationships, but it also often results in great fun. It's an exciting concept to explore, and it only gets better when you add the component of our incredibly talented cast. Their chemistry really adds to that dynamic. One would hope.
That's your takeaway? Yep, sounds good. Pull it off.
that's my takeaway. Yeah. And, you know, as much as I've defended these films,
we still expect more.
It would have been nice if we had a little more time, like a little bit, like at least one or two more solo films. But, you know, whatever, man.
I don't know. I can deal with the format of how they were setting them out. I just there's so much I would like to have done differently.
Well, yeah, that's us though. Kirstie Clemons confirmed her Justice League appearance. Again, this is one of those things that I thought was already confirmed. I don't know why we're going over it again, but Kirstie Clemons stated during an Instagram live video she does have a cameo in Justice League. She did point out that it's listed on her IMDb page, so there you go.
No secrets.
Mystery
here.
Solved.
that's not proof, though. I mean, come on, IMDb can get a little weird on you.
It has been known to.
It has been known to get a little weird on you.
It's also been known to get a little spoilery and absolutely, completely freaking correct.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I know.
Aquaman, they've had some casting stuff. Now, everyone's saying, like, oh, they have their... You know, no, none of this has been actually cast yet, so just calm the hell down. And that, in this way, I don't mind if you get mad. Tamira Morrison, who played Abin Sur for Green Lantern, actually, is in talks to join Aquaman as a Thomas Curry.
Hmm. Be nice to have him back. Kidman. He was one of the parts of the movie people didn't have a problem with at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was pretty rote. It was like, oh, damn, cool. And then, like, the movie fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already kind of shitty because of, like, the 25 different times we saw, you know, Hal Jordan's dad blow up.
Dad!
we get it. The plane freaking blew up.
Dad!
We get it. Please stop. But, yeah. Nicole Kidman is in talks to play Atlanta. Or Atlanta, whatever you want to say. I don't know. The exiled queen of Atlantis who falls in love with landlubber Tom Curry. Now, of course, everyone knows Nicole Kidman was Dr. Chase Meridian in Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Which will mean, in a way, Batman has slept with both Aquaman's mother and Superman's mother.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Huh.
Affleck had an affair with her in, oh, what was that movie? I don't remember.
George Reeves.
Was it?
I thought it was the thing about George Reeves, the little,
No, I thought it was some romantic comedy. But anyway.
Ah, damn.
Not my cup.
IMDb but, it is.
You know. Yeah, then, you know, Batman obviously got with Dr. Chase Meridian in Batman Forever.
Yep.
So it means some version of Batman has got it on with a couple of Justice League's mothers. This is going to become a fun, in like 10 years' time, this is going to be a fun little 6 degrees of separation on Batman's dick.
Yeah.
That's just what it's going to be.
How close are you to a bat wiener?
It's not who I am, but who I do that defines me.
Yep.
So anyway, Aquaman may have found his black mana. Again, early, it's in talks. It looks like it's probably going to happen. They've had numerous meetings with the Get Down actor, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, to play Black Manta. It's looking like a sure thing. A lot of people are already saying, jumping the gun, clickbaiting, saying that it is a thing. You know, maybe. Looks like that's probably what's going to happen. I haven't seen actual confirmation that it's true, though. That it's absolutely, like, him.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, yeah, it's just I don't know. It's the secondary sites. It's not like Variety coming out and saying it yet.
Mm-hmm. So, Amber Heard, there was a training video. She's just throwing some punches at the camera and walking away playfully and laughing. So, you know. But she's training to be Mera in Aquaman and Justice League. So, yay. There was also a also a video of a gym where people are training. And Jason Momoa walks out and just dramatically points to Aquaman comics on a table. That was awesome. just fun stuff, you know. Not earth-shattering news here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just breaking as we're recording. John Campia of Collider Movie Talk is saying Ben Affleck, make no mistake, he does want out. He doesn't want to be Batman anymore. I've been told Ben Affleck is talking with Warner Brothers in an attempt to get out of being Batman, and if they do not let him out of being Batman, the standalone Batman film that ultimately happens will be the last time we see Ben Affleck as Batman.
Mm.
He says that he has 3 separate sources telling him this over the past 4 days.
Oh. That's going to be rough. That is going to be rough. All right, so where would that put him, though?
First of all,
is that the Batman right now is slated for, what, 2019 at best? Like early 2019 at best?
Probably.
Which would put it still between the Justice League movies, I think?
Probably, yeah.
I wonder what that does to him story here is where it really leaves me. I don't want to recast him. I mean, if we lose Batman, we lose Batman. I'm almost leaning more towards that than recasting, for God's sake.
Here's the thing. I think if this is true, and there's no real indication that this is true, I don't trust Collider Movie Talk.
Well, that's fine.
I've listened to the show. I think it's a lot of, you know, circle jerking and, you know, I've never seen it as a viable source for movie news. And I look at a lot of different news.
Yeah, yeah.
But, they seem to be, a little bit high on the horse there. But, you know, there's no evidence of what these sources are. And, quite honestly, even if they did have all these sources, you know, you think, what would be the end goal for saying all of this? It's just to destabilize Warner Brothers and the DCEU. If you are looking at it and going, okay, well, I was going to see Justice League, but if they're not going to keep going in the same line, why would I? They're going to recast Batman. Or the DCEU is over. And let's face it, if Ben Affleck leaves the DCEU, if he's not Batman anymore, this isn't like the Hulk. You can't just recast that.
Mm.
It's going to suck.
Well, no, I mean, so far just you reboot can. It. Like, so far he's been a part of half a movie. And looks like he has a substantial part in Justice League, but Justice League 2, we don't know anything about.
No, but he's also in Suicide Squad briefly.
Yeah. But only as a cameo. I mean, right now you could get rid of Batman or make it a transition to another person's Batman. If you absolutely had to.
I think the best they could hope for is to keep trying and just put another actor who kind of looks like Ben Affleck in the cowl and never show Bruce Wayne again.
That would be way worse than trying to like write in a Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some guy you never mentioned that's been in Bloodhaven the entire time comes back to take over the cowl. That would be way, way, way better than body double.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they could. They could, like, quickly kill him off in Justice League or something.
And just have someone take it back over? Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. You could. I mean, there's a couple things they could do, but I feel like Batman is so heavily rooted in the Bruce Wayne persona for mainstream audiences. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, they might just recast it because of how much money they've already put into the DCEU, but that's also the part that makes me feel like this is just bullshit.
Because, well, that's the major thing.
I mean,
Affleck
has put in so much.
I'm still,
you know,
real dubious about the any storylines that involve people trying to sabotage the DCEU. It's just too damn conspiratorial, and the people that would theoretically be doing this have very little gain. There's no money in it. You get a few hits for your site. That's it.
I don't know. Like, people will do a lot for a few measly hits, though.
That's true. Honestly. But like, for everyone to be doing it is one thing, but to start forming a narrative that it's like an active conspiracy, you have to have an active hand behind it that's guiding all these little pawns that just want a few hits.
I'm not saying it's an act of conspiracy that everyone is involved in. I'm saying
it's just something people have brought up that no, there's an act of conspiracy. I'm just not willing to buy that. There's no hand with enough resources to do it. So it just, you know, right now it's an unsubstantiated report, it looks like.
It's absolutely an unsubstantiated report. Absolutely. That's not in question.
Unfortunately, it has just enough bearing that, yeah, it's even got me a little concerned.
Yeah, and, you know, you hear things like this, and we've heard things like this, like, oh, he's going to be stepping away, and he says, oh, I'm actually doing it. And him doing that.
And then he says, oh,
like,
I'm definitely
going to
do it,
doing
and he steps away.
And then stepping away has hurt it more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't think at this point there's room to be worried. But even if it does, I mean, let's just call it for what it is. It's a bunch of movies, man.
Yep. I also think that... if this ends up being true, this is where I land on it. Or if we end up seeing more news that this is possibly going to be true, where I might land on it is this. We might be at the point of like, man, Affleck just can't keep his head in or out of this thing right now. Like, he's not, some days he's feeling it, sometimes he's not. But this is something you maybe need to be really focused on to really get done, to do it well. Which is the talking point that he's used on several occasions. He wants this to be done well with everything behind him. And it feels like sometimes Warner Brothers has just fought him too hard on doing it the way he feels is the right way to do it. So, yeah, it seems like he... If I pull away and talk about what I've seen over the last few months with Affleck and Warner Brothers, it feels like he wants to do a thing. They don't want to do it the same way. He's just have like, I don't know. I think he's having like a crisis of faith himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And if this is true, if this report is true, honestly, I think it would probably be because they may have taken this movie. They may have taken the Batman away from him because of Live by Night. That's something I said a couple weeks ago. You know, there's a very real possibility that he was kind of on the fence about it anyway, and they saw that with that weakness, and then Live by Night flopped. It just did. There's no argument on to it. It flopped.
Yeah.
I think maybe they just told him, you know, hey, we're replacing you as a director because you can't direct and star at the same time. You just can't. This is too much money.
Which
is. A little confusing.
There were reports earlier, there were a couple of reports this last couple of weeks about Warner Brothers asked him to focus completely on this and, you know, or beware.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how true that is.
Well,
but
there was a report that said that they asked him to put off other movies until after Justice League. And that was a while ago.
Yeah. And
but
even still, that... It's hard to judge. That seems like a mentality WB might have because we've seen him do it with some people. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And it's not even WB's fault. A lot of companies do this. Mm-hmm. That exclusivity contract of like, dude, this is what you're doing for the next year. Sorry. This is what you're doing. Yeah. Sorry. Maybe he just couldn't roll with it. It really does. It feels like he's having this huge crisis of faith and it is a giant set of shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just not on the same page. And it's getting so much damn publicity because Ben Affleck is everywhere right now.
Yeah. But, you know, I would rather have a better Batman movie and Affleck not be the director of it.
I was on board with that. I mean,
everyone
let him step down, him focus on product. Like he's apparently got some writing chops. Let him focus on what he's good at. He works well with Chris Terrio. Let him focus on doing the role correctly and then getting the lines right. And then let somebody else do some of the hard-ass job of directing behind it.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad call if everyone was actually on the same page.
Right. And, you know, and honestly, I don't understand why you need that much money to make a Batman movie anyway. You know, I was watching Fat Man on Batman. Mark Bernardin made a great point. Like, you know, the two major elements of a Batman movie are you got, you know, it's detective shit, it's gumshoe, it's, you know, it's film noir, and then kung fu. And those are two movie genres that are historically very, very cheap to make.
Oh, yeah. No, look at some of the early Tim Burton. Look at, like, 89 Batman, yeah. And look at all of Batman 66. The entirety of Citizens of Gotham, if you believe what you've just watched, is about 250 people.
Yeah,
and like the sets themselves cover maybe about 2 football fields. Like,
yeah.
I could construct this for about, I don't know, $25,000.
Yeah, and Bernardin suggested, you know, maybe they should have a budget of like $35 million. You know, yeah. $35 million, and they would clean up. But they're not going to do it because WB, you know.
See, Bernardin and Ryan Reynolds are apparently like on the same page right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, to do Deadpool 2, he's actually arguing for a smaller budget.
Oh. Okay.
He wants them to pull it back a little bit.
Well, yeah, they want to throw in all this extra money, like, oh, it was so good, we're going to throw it. Like, no, that's because then you're going to get less of a return for the next one and be like, well, this one wasn't as much of a success. I guess everyone's tired of Deadpool.
No,
you fools.
I forget the actual numbers, but they made like 10, 11, 12 times the money they put in on this. And then next movie, you come in, throw in like $250 million and only make $650 million. And you go, oh, God, our return on investment just went down by like a nearly exponential rate.
Right. But then, of course, you have the other end of that spectrum, which is like the Salcons or whatever with like and Canon Films with Superman, where they're like, let's spend progressively less money on every Superman film.
And see what happens.
Until it really shows.
Tell you what, just for kicks, on the last one, we're going to tell them the budget's this, and then we're going to make it 50% of that when they show up.
So, you know.
Anyway.
The ROI will be amazing. No, it very much will not.
Yeah.
So anyway, on to other big news. Hopefully the Ben Affleck leaving Batman thing is not real.
I've enjoyed Batfleck. I hope it's not real because I hope it's not real. I just do.
I honestly think that whether or not he dips is going to depend on how well Justice League is received. And subsequently how well his standalone is received.
Yeah, well, they haven't invested enough money in the standalone yet. Like, he can still bail after Justice League and face minimal financial consequence for somebody like Ben Affleck.
Right.
He could still dip. I just don't know if he will. But we're hearing so much about this. It's way overexposed at the moment.
I wouldn't be worried about it yet. Not really.
No. Wait for, like, I'll tell you what, tell it. Give it 2 weeks, because this story will proliferate hugely. Give it 2 weeks and wait for his next little press run somewhere. Because the first thing someone's going to ask him when they have like a decent camera and mic is, "Are you really definitely done?" We will get a soundbite from him at some point soon. I guess we'll go from there.
It's just gonna be him rolling his eyes and going, "Shit, what is wrong with you people?"
I know.
So anyway, it's being reported that it's, you know, completely a done deal. But Variety says early talks, so again, calm the hell down. Have a beer. Or maybe the problem is you guys are drinking too much. Some of these people are.
Yeah, it's just person to person on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's being reported that Matt Reeves is in early talks to direct the Batman solo film, which is, as of this point, still being executive produced and starring by Ben Affleck. So, you know, calm down. Still good. And the part that cracks me up the most is that Ben Affleck was the thing that everybody hated about this at the beginning. But whatever.
Yeah. You know, there are people just sitting there refreshing the IMDb page right now.
Sure.
Just to see if there's
So look, Matt Reeves, this guy, if he directs it, the only thing I've seen is Cloverfield that he did. He did a remake of Let the Right Ones In, I think called Let Me In. I did not see that. He did two big-ass event tentpole films, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and he's about to do War, or he just did War for the Planet of the Apes. I hear really good things about those things.
Yeah.
Then again, he also did Under Siege 2 with Steven Seagal.
So, you know, there's that.
It was a long time ago. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just, let's, you know, I just want to point out that is a thing.
Yeah, but no one should be, like, judged for anything that had Steven Seagal in it.
Right. the rumor
Free pass.
Indicates, like, I don't know whether to be happy about Matt Reeves or not. I haven't seen anything the guy's
really
done
don't.
Except for Cloverfield.
Yeah, really don't
and
know
I
the
feel
guy
like
well
that's not,
judge.
That's a found footage film, so you can't really judge anything.
Yeah.
And, they're saying, the rumor mill is saying that if Matt Reeves falls through, which I'm hearing he's committed to do it, and Warner Brothers really wants him.
Right now, the heavy bet's on him doing it.
If he falls through. That's a big if. Warner Brothers is trying to get Ridley Scott, maybe?
Huh.
Which I would not be into. One, Ridley Scott's a dickhole.
Yeah.
I've
heard that one.
I would have to completely just overrule my, because it's a Batman film, I would have to see it, which pisses me off because I've sworn I would never watch another Ridley Scott movie.
My first comment is like, well, I mean, yeah, but we'd only see Batman for like 15 seconds and he'd be in shadows.
Right. Which could work.
legitimately. The better parts of BTAS were in the shadows, for God's sake.
I don't know about that either. But
it's when he was scariest.
Ridley
I mean.
Scott. My issue with Ridley Scott is that he fired a Star Trek actor because he found out he was on Star Trek. You know, and what, you're on Star Trek? Ah,
get out of here.
You were on Star Trek 10. You were on Star Trek 15, 10 years ago, whatever it was. You're fired.
Yeah.
What? Now, Ridley Scott also has said, he told Digital Spy last year, superhero movies are not my kind of thing. That's why I've never done one. I've been asked several times, but I can't believe in the thin, gossamer tight rope of the non-reality of the situation of the superhero. I've done that kind of movie. Blade Runner really is a comic strip when you think about it. It's a dark story told in an unreal world. You could almost put Batman or Superman in that story, sorry, in that world, that atmosphere, except I'd have a freaking good story as opposed to no story. So clearly he has a bias against superhero movies.
Yeah. No. You can't just throw Batman into Blade Runner. Wouldn't be the same for him. It would ruin both of them.
Oh my God. Would it?
Yes.
Or would you just have Batman Beyond?
No.
You know what? I'd be on board. I'd be on board a Ridley Scott Batman Beyond movie, but nothing else.
No. No, I'm gonna just take a stance here with what he's just said. I don't know if that's going to apply. I don't know how strongly he felt about it. Maybe he had a bad day. But if that's how he really feels about it, what you have is someone that comes into this medium, which takes a certain amount of, not even a certain amount, an exaggerated amount of care and love to grow and form it correctly into a thing that everyone respects. That's not the soundbite of someone who might be capable of having that respect for the genre.
He doesn't have the pedigree to do a superhero film because he's got a stigma in his head about what a superhero movie is. Apparently, critics and fans alike have that stigma in their head, too, because Zach tries to do something deep with something, and they're like, "Rah!"
Yeah.
So, whatever. Maybe it's a perfect fit. I don't care. Whatever. I don't want Ridley Scott involved, honestly. But...
Yeah, me too.
The other possibility here that they're talking about is Fed Alvarez.
Don't know him.
He directed Don't Breathe, or the thing that I know him from, the Evil Dead remake.
Oh.
Which was fantastic.
All right.
I mean, you look at a thing and you go, how do you redo Evil Dead? How? How do you actively redo Evil Dead and make it good? Make it, you know, almost as good as the original, even. With a new set of complexities. He did it. He pulled it off.
Actually, right there, the last few sentences you just said, that's how you pitch somebody like Fred Alvarez. Like,
Fed Alvarez. I think it's Fed or Fede Alvarez, but either way, Alvarez is awesome.
But what you said was, this guy took a pre-existing continuity, redid it, tweaked it a little bit, sounded like it sounds like it was respectful, kind of good, pushed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
It wasn't a comedy. It was straight up horror, and it was pretty gruesome. But, you know, I've never been one for horror. I love the Evil Dead movies, but because it devolves into just slapstick horror comedy.
Yeah, it's just like supernatural comedy by the end of that shit.
But yeah, what he did with Evil Dead was a lot of fun. In fact, I hope they bring it into Ash vs. Evil Dead or whatever. And they have talked about doing that, like bridging the gap between the universes. But anyway, that guy's really good. And he did a fine job with Evil Dead. I'd like to see his take on Batman. But really only if they did like a villain like Cornelius Sturck or something, you know, like get one of those weird villains who are like, no one knows who like kills people, you know, and just like eats them. Maybe a Zazz.
I was thinking Zazz. Yeah.
Shit. A Fed Alvarez movie, Batman movie where the main villain is Zazz. Oh my God. We don't have to deal with Leto's Joker or any press about that shit. We don't have to deal with any of that bullshit. Just like, well, we don't know what we're doing. And then all of a sudden, here you go, it's a Zsasz movie with Fed Alvarez. Oh, I'd be so on board with
Not
that.
Not bad.
Anyway. Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Matt Reeves, and I look forward to seeing what he brings to the table. Hopefully he brings something good.
Sounds qualified, knows how to do a big budget. It's again, mm-hmm. that was what they were looking for, man. You got to know how to do a big budget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, proving once again that the press are the most infantile pieces of shit known to man, they asked Casey Affleck if he would ever consider playing Robin to Affleck's Batman. They, like, harangued him at the backstage at the BAFTAs. Is harangue the right word? I don't think it is, but...
Maybe.
Anyway...
I haven't heard. Let's find out.
They were bugging him at the... Went backstage at the BAFTAs, and they were like, would you play Robin? And he says, what he says is interesting. I wonder if he has inside info, but he says, I mean, you would think he did, but he says, I think that part has already been played. It's been set up. It's been established in the last Batman. They mix it up a lot. He added, it hasn't been offered to me. No, I don't think I would want to do that. So just because he's Ben Affleck's little brother, you think he wants to play Robin?
See,
you're gonna bug.
See, that's just out of canon.
You're gonna bug Casey Affleck about being Robin? Yeah. Seriously? Shit. So much to do man, they've been going on and on about this Chris Terrio. Deadline reported that Chris Terrio had a rewrite of the Batman solo movie. And, I mean, I can't exactly argue with that logic. There are all these ridiculous rumors of it being a page one rewrite, or rumors of a whole other rewrite coming. Someone asked Justin Kroll over at Variety, or actually it was BatmanNews.com, said, any truth to the rumors that the Batman script is being redone from scratch? Justin Kroll over at Variety says, no, several sources already saying new script came in this month and everyone, including Emmerich and Ben, are very happy with it. So, don't worry about those rumors, guys.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, come on. I'm sorry, this is just, it gets more and more disheartening.
Yeah, it gets frustrating to see that many things to click on just to find that there's really nothing there.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Speaking of which, the rumor mill, the headlines are all saying Joe Manganiello is not going to be playing Deathstroke because he's going to be in a movie with The Rock in a movie called Rampage, a movie about the 80s video game there. April 2018 release, which means it has to begin in spring or summer. Well, we've already figured that the Batman was not going to start until probably fall because of the delays and Affleck stepping away, and they're finding another director. And by the way, they were probably looking at Matt Reeves for quite a while. Like, they probably figured that Affleck, it looks like that was not going to be exactly...
Yeah, no one was booking equipment for April to do Batman.
But if you want to know if he's going to play Deathstroke in the Batman movie, well, Joe was on Dragon Talk, a D&D podcast, and it was just this week. And he had a whole lot to say about playing Deathstroke. He was talking about training. He says, I'm somebody that likes to start preparing way ahead of time, so I've read almost all the comic books involving Deathstroke just to get the information out of them. Some of them are useful, some of them are not going to be useful, because ultimately the script, that's my text, I have to play that. I started katana training recently, like live sword training, and I started meeting with various martial arts teachers and discussing with them. Okay. So what are the most offensive styles of martial arts? One where you're not waiting for someone to attack you, but ones where you're looking to make the attack. Then what are the most deadly ones? Where are the scrolls, the ancient Japanese scrolls that have these really deadly techniques that you don't teach to the average student out on the street? Something that only somebody who would go looking for it that are really, really bad, you know, are dangerous. Like, what are those? Okay, so now what are the stances? What are, like, some really unorthodox stances that someone who learned, say, ninjutsu would stand in? Okay, so now what if that person lost an eye? If that person lost an eye, how would they then alter the stance so that you would have better peripheral vision? What would that look like? So then you start cooking, and then you start building a story, kind of outside in. That's like a very physical way to build a story. Then on the other side of it, like I said, I'm looking at the script rather than the comic books. I mean, the comic books are giving me a good general idea of the area that we're talking about, where this character is located, but the script is really like, you know, because they might change the canon. There's been like 3 or 4 different ways that Deathstroke has lost his eye. Are we going, are we doing one of those, or are we doing it a completely new way? Like, I need to play that. So,
or is he just not having an eye?
I think that's a good, you know, answer to the question of whether or not he's going to be playing Deathstroke. He also says, he also talks about, in my mind, you could say Deathstroke is a villain. There's definitely a way to look at him as an anti-hero. But there's a way to look at him, or look at him as a villain. There's a way to look at him as an anti-hero, or just someone who's figuring things out and is trying to work something out over the course of this 2-hour movie. And there's a lot of clickbaity stuff about how Christopher Priest, a comic book writer who actually just wrote like a Deathstroke thing, mm-hmm. like a miniseries, or maybe it wasn't a miniseries, it was just a storyline. But Christopher Priest says, "I can't be protective of Deathstroke. He's a villain. He's a vile person. He doesn't have that monitor in there. He is completely indifferent to what's going on in Chicago. I actually said Chicago like people of Chicago say it. Chicago."
Drug the A out for no reason there.
I know. I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
He says, "The job is a job. The guy I'm writing is a villain, plain and simple." So, you know, I prefer my villains to be a little more anti-hero-ish, like a little more like, I think it should be done this way, and I think I'm correct, you know, as opposed to, you know, mustache twirling assholes.
Yeah, the mustache twirling doesn't work anymore these days. People,
well, the only
audience has evolved.
It works few and far between. But, you know, one area I would say it absolutely works is like the Joker.
Yeah, but even he has his own backstory most of the time. Of,
I knew you were gonna say that.
Just.
Damn it, Jason.
Trying to show the world chaos. I'm sorry. You do a character well enough, and you can always show their point of view. Doesn't matter if it's a villain.
That's true. Absolutely
true. There's a reason, like... oh, God. I can't remember the name of it right now. The Mr. Freeze episode of BTAS.
Oh, shit, man. Don't bring that up.
Yeah. There's Heart a reason that won an Emmy. Heart of Ice. Thank you. All I can remember was Ice.
Like, you say Heart of... You even talk about that episode, and I shrink a little bit. I'm like...
Yeah.
And like in my chest, I got hunch a little bit more. I'm like, oh.
There's a reason it was so well received, though, is it took a useless character and made you care about him for half a second.
Whatever that line is, no. Somewhere where a warm hand waits for mine. Oh, man. That's just. Rend my heart to pieces.
Yep.
I'm gonna actually stop when we stop doing this show.
Just gonna go back for that episode.
I'm gonna pop in a DVD and I'm gonna watch Heart of Ice, and I'm going to weep.
That's the correct way to watch Heart of Ice. And enjoy the fact that you can cry.
With a pre-Joker Mark Hamill as Ferris Boyle.
Mm.
You say that like you didn't know that already.
I always forget that.
I don't know if it aired first, but production-wise, it was definitely first.
Production-wise matters.
On to Gotham City Sirens. Haley Bennett might be Catwoman. She was in The Girl on the Train and The Magnificent Seven. She posted a couple of pictures on Instagram, which is... As far as I know, really all you can post on Instagram, unless you're doing a story, but...
I mean...
She put up a picture of the Bruce Timm Catwoman.
Mm.
Which, why the hell you wouldn't you? I don't understand. But then she also posted a picture of her with short hair and said, "This is me now." And people are thinking that means that she might be playing Catwoman in Gotham City Sirens.
Or she too just realized that the series was great and wanted a new haircut.
Right. They're like, "Oh, she's got short hair like Selena Kyle does sometimes." Yeah, sometimes. But, you know, if you're paying attention, the picture of Catwoman that she posted, the Bruce Timm Catwoman, had long blonde hair.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, whatever.
Do with that what you will.
Specific on it, which I'm sure she wouldn't, because she's not a real fan.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding about that. I hate when people say that. Anyway, Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, and also 300, a Zack Snyder joint. Someone asked her, "Why aren't you playing Catwoman yet?" And her response was, "Why the fuck am I not?"
Oh, well played.
And I have to say, if I had to choose between Lena Headey and Haley Bennett, I would choose Lena Headey. Lena Headey is more age appropriate for Affleck's Batman. Haley Bennett looks a little too young. Also, Haley Bennett totally looks more like a Poison Ivy. I might be wrong. Whatever.
I could agree with you on both those. But there's no reason Catwoman necessarily has to be older. Not in this version of it. And I could make an argument that in this version of it, he definitely doesn't have anyone that's like still taunting him at his age. He's been in the game for a bit.
Maybe.
He has,
I mean,
it would appear, especially if you listen to Alfred talk about him, committed pretty much to not having a family.
Yeah. But I kind of have to wonder, who was that chick in bed with him in BVS? Maybe it was Lena Headey. Maybe it was Haley Bennett.
I doubt very seriously if this Bruce Wayne would remember the name.
Maybe it was Barbara Gordon. Because the WB seems intent on making him have sex with
they
Barbara Gordon.
They do seem very intent on that, yeah.
Why is that the one thing that Paul Dini did that you've glommed onto, you bastards?
By the way, I didn't ask you about this, I don't think. Did you laugh a little bit when, like, we were watching Lego and it's one of the major criticisms of Killing Joke, and really, I could never get completely comfortable with it in the Killing Joke, like, animated adaptation, and then I looked over at Lego Batman, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna make him a..." Okay.
Yeah.
It was, like, such an uproar when they did it, like, for real in Killing Joke, and then over here, they're kind of, like, cutesy and together, and it's clearly, like, he's into her, and I come on. Let's look at...
Well,
context aside... How many times are we going to have him nail Barbara Gordon?
I think there was no indication that he actually nailed Barbara Gordon in any real capacity in the Lego movie.
No, not at all. Batman not movie. At all. But he is beyond smitten with her.
Sure. And who wouldn't be? She's a strong, empowered woman.
It's Rosario
Dawson. He's clearly... Come on. Against everything she stands for, though. He doesn't want to work with her at all. I think the problem in the Killing Joke was the lack of her, or the seeming lack of her being a strong, independent woman in the Killing Joke. I think that was the problem. Like, I think people took issue with it because it seemed like she was just willing to give it up to Batman. Like, "Oh, of course I'm into Batman because I'm, you know, smitten with him," or whatever. I don't know. I
just didn't take it that way out of that one.
We've entered treacherous times where you can't really make character choices in movies without offending someone on either side of the aisle. You know, I'm not taking a stance on either way. I'm just saying, you know, it's when I
take away from their relationship in Killing Joke.
Well, you know, I'm used to the idea because I watched the Batman the Animated Series, which, and Batman Beyond, which they didn't go deeply into it, but,
they just retrofitted it.
Sort of in Batman Beyond, yes, they did. You're absolutely right. They did somewhat do that. But they did make it a point in Batman Beyond to say, hey, this happened.
Yeah.
And, we did, when we look back at Batman the Animated Series, I'm talking the classic animated series, probably, I want to say it was either the last aired or the last production number. I'm sure someone out there, I can't imagine who, maybe someone named Scott or Brent would mm-hmm. have the answer to this, where they could tell me about it on Twitter.
Off the top of their head.
But, but I'm pretty sure the episode, like there's an episode of Batman the Animated Series where Barbara has a dream where she's making out with Batman. She saves him from some bad guys or something, and they make out. And then, you know, the next time we actually really hear about Batman and Barbara being together, it actually happened, and it was in Batman Beyond. Like, there was a hint of it in that episode, Old Wounds, in Volume 4, where Dick was like, yeah, the bastard told her who I was, asshole. And for me, you know, as far as shipping goes, I'll always ship Dick and Barbara. Always. Like, yeah. Yeah, I like Dick and Corey. That's fine. But Dick and Barbara all the way, all the time, every time someone asks me, who should Dick Grayson be with? Barbara Gordon.
Hand up in the air. For me, I like them more because they just have such a similar set of values at any given point in their life. Like they're raised with, it's not different, but I don't know. They just seem like they're at the same point in their life so often that they make a nice couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But seems like, all right, well, I mean, going back to the four, I'm going to make this quick. Going back for the four points, one, you have like a makeout dream with somebody. That happens way more often than any of us want to admit to anybody else. Just does. Sorry.
I don't have makeout dreams so much.
I'm sorry. That probably makes you statistically unlikely. Like,
I don't know.
People have lovey dreams about people they would not like to admit it all the damn time. Mm-hmm. And then, for me, that's borderline irrelevant. And then you get back to like, oh, it's just a thing that happened. Okay, well, a lot of people in an intense situation, it's a thing that happened, whatever. But then you go back to like the current WBverse and, they've got Barbara and Bats going right at it.
Mm-hmm.
Could easily still go back into the category of, just a thing that happened, but then it's just, we go right back over to like the happiest Batman property in recent memory by a very long shot.
Yeah,
and there's Barbara again. Just seems like it's getting shit pretty hard.
Well, you know, in Lego Batman though,
and wasn't getting any heat in Lego Batman.
Yeah, she just wasn't into it. She's like, whatever, dude. I don't know what your deal is, but okay. Which is fine, and I think it's okay. I think that's a pretty good interpretation of it. But again, you know, Lego Batman, or Killing Joke, you know, you look back, and I'm used to this shit now. Like, whatever. You guys want to make Batman like a cock-blocking asshole who steals his son's girlfriend? Okay, I guess. Like, you know what? You earned one. Like, Batman the Animated Series was so good, they earned one. They earned one just completely disgusting, terrible thing that Batman would never, ever do. They added so many spokes to the wheel, as Kevin Smith would say. They actually added so much to the Batman mythos that, you know what? You get one. You get one really messed up thing.
You know what? And I'll end my part of this tangent with this. My wife is watching Shameless right now. I keep walking into scenes that are way worse than anything we're talking about.
Right. I haven't seen Shameless. So
I've almost gotten numb to stuff like that.
You're more willing to accept Gotham now.
I really am. There's a legitimate case that like Cameron Monaghan's character walked out of Shameless, walked into Gotham City, and became the Joker.
Yeah, all right.
That's a thing you can damn near make a case for. Seriously, I just walked back there 10 minutes ago. Well, sorry, 10 minutes before we started recording, I walked back there and went, what's happening? And just looked at, is Jerome getting, is he going into asylum? Yeah. Was that him I heard kidnapping a baby? Yeah. Is he bipolar? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
All right. Because,
like, she was in the kitchen, I was in here doing stuff, and I heard somebody, for God's sake, kidnap a baby.
Sure.
Weirdly, that from happens. The dialogue, you can actually tell when someone has someone has hijacked a baby. But sure enough, I'm sitting here. I hear like a scene that clearly indicates that, and I thought I recognized his voice, but it's not as nearly as distinct as it is over in Gotham. And
reminds me though, I need to watch Raising Arizona again.
That's fair.
A great movie. God, it's such a good movie.
Yeah,
God, it's such a good movie.
That's probably
Coen Brothers.
That's probably been 18 years for me.
Yeah, you want to know who should direct a Batman movie?
Coen Brothers. Go at it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
For that matter, tear up the contract with Disney and let the Russos do the Justice League. Go for it. Let's go crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
Get some revenge on the mouse.
Over to BVS news, because, gosh, we have really diverged.
Let's actually get some stuff done real quick.
Zack Snyder released a VFX reel. It was a pretty comprehensive video effects reel for Batman v Superman this week. He tweeted, "This is a look behind the curtain at what my amazing VFX team is able to achieve. They are simply amazing." The video is pretty comprehensive, covering everything from young Bruce being carried up by bats to the final fight with Doomsday and Superman's death, spoilers, and includes some voiceover explaining the layering effects the team employed on occasion. Some of the footage was released a few weeks ago, but it is largely new behind-the-scenes material. It's pretty cool.
It really is. I mean, the cinematography and the effects were not the things people had problems with.
Right.
Largely.
Now, we are DC on screen, and this isn't the end of the show, by the way. So we do tend to move toward DCEU stuff, like the DC Cinematic Universe, if you want to call it that, which is why we haven't talked about any of this stuff, but we're going to talk about it now. There was a kind of a lot of it, so I moved it to the end of the line. Lego Batman stuff. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with the DCEU necessarily, in support of the release of the Lego Batman movie, Warner Brothers threw some support from its other properties at the new feature. Not only did Gotham, Supergirl, Arrow, and The Flash get billboard-sized Lego makeovers on the sides of the WB offices, the shows last week featured some of those Lego redesigns in the credits. Also, some of the TV spots with Will Arnett included some of the crew. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice little swath
they're
of interconnectivity.
They're funny little pictures, too. Like, the little Arrow Lego looks so damn angry, and he's got, like, a 5 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm. So, there is a reference to Suicide Squad in the Lego Batman movie, and without getting too spoilery about the line itself, for those who haven't gotten to see it yet, the director had this to say about the moment, which some described as being a derisive line of against Suicide Squad. I can't remember if that was one we really had to run up the flagpole or not, or just the executives who were on the movie saw it and were okay with it, but this was just us kind of riffing in a voice booth. It was me, Jared Stern, and Will Arnett. It was one of those things where we gave Will an idea and he took it and made it his own. I love working with him. He's amazing. But being able to get away with stuff, I think, is kind of one of those things we do well in all of the Lego movies. There have only been two so far. You feel like you're sort of getting away with it. In another interview, he said, because we're approaching these characters in this movie with a lot of love, people kind of let us do some things that maybe we couldn't do. Will Arnett also explained the moment as saying, it's kind of incumbent upon us in this position as the, in a certain way, as the absurdist Batman to take those shots. If we don't, then we're sort of missing our own point. And this makes a great point.
I'm
calling it the absurdist Batman.
Yeah. I liked what McKay had to say. I thought Arnett nailed it, though.
Uh-huh. But the thing is, you know, I thought about it in the movie, and I didn't say it. I thought I was going to remember it when we did the review, which is already up. You can already go check that out if you want our opinions on the Lego Batman movie. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, we loved it. I thought I was going to say this in the review, but I didn't. I said it on Twitter and got a lot of positive feedback. People were just going, oh, shit, why did you say that? It's totally true. The Lego Batman is just, he's totally just Frank Miller's All-Star Batman from All-Star Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Without the cursing.
Yeah.
I was going to say without the sex or the cursing, but he's pretty into Barbara Gordon, and I'm pretty sure that Frank Miller's Batman would totally have sex with a minor on top of a rooftop. So.
Yep.
Even though she's not a minor in the Lego movie. But I think Lego Batman is totally just Frank Miller's All-Star Batman. Like, current, crazy ass, I'm kind of an old man, but look way older, Frank Miller.
Actually,
his current rendition of Batman is the Lego Batman, without cursing.
I mean, really, how far is Superman from All-Star Superman?
You'd have to ask Grant Morrison.
And he's not shown a lot. Yeah, yeah. He's not shown a lot in the film, but is he really different? It is.
You know,
it's kind
I don't
of the,
know.
It's kind of the All-Star universe.
I mean, I wouldn't know. We don't see enough of all. We don't see enough of Lego Superman to know.
No, I don't think there's anything contradictory in it.
Maybe not yet.
It's a very very selfless, like, I don't know, selfish, selfless, friendly kind of Batman tech.
Yeah. So the Lego Batman numbers are in. With the release of Lego Batman last week, there was some curiosity about whether the project would come out hot in sales. While it came in under its predecessor, the original Lego Lego movie, mm-hmm. It still managed to win the weekend with $55.6 million. It beat 50 Shades Darker at 46.8, which is kind of crazy, and John Wick 2 at 30 million. I thought John Wick would do better.
They did too.
They did too? Is that what you said? Yeah.
I saw a pretty good amount of hype about, like, John Wick 2. Woo, it's going to be great.
$30 million is not bad for John Wick 2.
It's not.
I saw.
It's not.
I did not. Oh, okay. I did not see John Wick. I want to. I've always wanted to. Ever since the trailer came out, I said, oh, man, I'm going to see that movie. And I just haven't had time. If you listen to the podcast, you know why. Because I'm too busy doing this shit.
Right.
But
also, didn't the puppy die?
That's what sends him on his rampage.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I didn't actually bother finding the time to watch the movie. I was like, no, I've already... No. Mm-mm.
But it's a dude taking revenge on a bunch of people who killed his puppy.
I mean, I understand that completely.
It's cathartic.
I get that. I just didn't want to... Like, the trailer alone was like, no, the puppy died.
I'm told there's a bit...
I don't want anything new with this property.
I'm told there's a bit in the first one where they come to his house and try to kill him. And he, like, murders them all. He takes them all out. And then, like, the cops show up at his house. And he, like, opens the door. And he's like, they're like, John. And he's like, officer. He's like, we heard there was some noise. And he's like, no, it's okay. And he, like, looks around John. And he sees all these dead bodies, you know, laying on the ground. And he's like, you working again, John? And he's like, nope, just sorting some things out. It's like, understood. Have a good night, John. Dude, I gotta see this movie. Like, I just gotta. This looks amazing.
That's good dialogue. It didn't look bad. I just, like, saw the puppy thing and went, oh, no.
Absolutely understand. Absolutely understand.
I'm good here.
But you know the bit. You know why is you know why he's so attached to that puppy, other than just being a completely cute puppy. It was the last thing his dead wife gave him.
He's gonna hurt me. Oh fuck, man! God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we gotta see John Wick, man.
Doesn't make me want to see it more. It makes me want to skip the first half of the movie. I'm just gonna watch everything but the first 20 minutes of John Wick.
Right. But in the sequel, there's like Lawrence Fishburne, and they're like together again after like 20 years.
Aww.
So God, I kind of want to see that too.
So much longer than we'd like to admit to.
But then I'm the guy that forced you to sit down and watch Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen. So
yeah. I remember literally falling on the floor.
Yeah, you had to sit down on the floor, and I was so certain that it was a... that it was like supposed to be that ridiculous, and then we watched the special features and the director's talking about how awesome it was and how serious it was, and we were like, wait, what? This was clearly a satire. What? He made a satire without knowing it.
It was no, you just made a poor film.
Still a phenomenal movie. It's still like, if you just if you can get over the fact that the filmmaker thought he was making a serious movie, it's pretty phenomenal.
Then you might survive this thing.
I enjoy the hell out of it. And to be fair, you were laughing really hard through the entirety of the movie.
Oh, I it was just satire as far as I could tell. It just made me laugh the entire time.
Sure. So Will Arnett is he pranked a UK toy store. He was doing a little bit of press in the UK on BBC Radio 1 as Batman. And host Matt Edmondson has a segment called Alphabetically, in which the caller has to start each new sentence in the conversation with the next letter of the alphabet, A to Z. Arnett's Batman does a swimming job with it and seamlessly completes the rotation because, as he puts it, Batman's greatest superpower is his mind. It was good stuff.
It was. He gets stuck at, like, the normal times. Like you get to you and you're like, uranium. You get to Z and like, xylophones. I mean, like, my other boy is interested in xylophones because music.
Uh-huh. All right, guys. So we have a giveaway number 4 update. We have 2 new reviews from iTunes. Dan Mason 4210 on iTunes says, awesome DC podcast. DC on Screen is a fantastic podcast for movie and TV news. David and Jason are great hosts in that they can make you laugh while also providing quality information. I really appreciate getting my DC news from 2 dudes who don't take themselves or the product too seriously. Keep up the great work. Well, hey, man, I mean, you know. I know firsthand that you can't take me too seriously, and I've been a DC fan, DC TV and movie fan, to know that you can't take that too seriously.
No.
I just won't enjoy anything.
I promise you, man. We've known each other too long to let the other person take anything too fucking seriously. So rest assured, that aspect of the show will always be here for you.
Me and Jason, we've been watching DC movies and TV shows for so long that we don't really trust it. Like, we have the highest of hopes, and we get a little pissed off, you know, even though we have our own problems with the stuff, we get a little pissed off. Quit giving them shit, you know, with your clickbait bullshit. But at the same time, we're like, you're not going to get it right. We know you're not. Like, it's not going to be like exactly to our liking, and there's going to be some issues, even with like the Nolan trilogy, with so many people hold that up as like gold standard. We're like, I think you look at that third one again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love DC. You know, as many times as they rebooted it and everything, you can only really love the concepts. Like, that's what happens. The only thing you can really hold true to is the concepts of the characters.
Yeah, no.
And have preferences as to what they've done.
That's all we're really sure about, is the characters we're talking about, the people we're talking about, we have deep affection for.
Mm. Yeah. And Randy SF1971 says, more than a podcast. I didn't know we were more than a podcast, honestly, but he thinks we are. He says, I thought we only had time for a podcast. I thought that was what happened. He says, I started listening to Dave and Jason in 2015. Huh. Damn near the beginning.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. And have since feel less like podcasters and more like a couple of old friends crashing at my place every Monday and Tuesday. And despite my disagreements with Dave, about the DCEU in general, and a few Marvel movies in particular, everyone's opinion is respected. But most important of all, they're Lucifer reviews. Most important of all, they're Lucifer reviews.
That's a phrase that is heretofore unused.
Right? They're Lucifer reviews. Give me a reason to sit through the show every Monday night. Shit, man. I didn't know we were forcing you to watch Lucifer.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Also, thank you for going through this with us. It hurts. A lot of the time, it hurts.
All right. I think we might be best friends now, Randy.
Yeah.
We've been through some shit together.
Yeah.
We were in that foxhole together.
Yeah.
I do mean foxhole, because it airs on Fox. And it is a hole.
Yeah. It's
gotten better recently, though, right?
Yeah, at least two episodes.
I hope it gets better. Anyway.
Fingers interminably crossed.
That makes number five. Randy is number five in giveaway number four.
Excellent.
Five more reviews. And someone else gets a trade paperback, a Blu-ray, or a DVD. DC, of course, because we're not going to pay for your Marvel shit. Even though we love Marvel.
We do love Marvel.
And actually, if you ask us, we probably will, but...
Yeah, you know, but we have a Randa to consider.
There's some really good Marvel stuff.
It doesn't say, DC, begin parentheses, okay, Marvel, we really like them too, like, a lot. Like, no apologies, really love Marvel, but we focus more on DC... in parentheses, on screen. That's not our title.
Right.
We couldn't make a graphic that made that work.
You know, but just between me and you, if, you know, someone wanted to give us a 5-star review and then, you know, asked us later on if they could get, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy trade paperback instead, I might be okay with that. Don't quote me on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blu-ray, trade, paperback, or DVD. $15 or less. 1 in 10 win. We have 5. We need 5 more reviews. iTunes or Stitcher. We opened it up to Stitcher. We would open it up to Google Play, too, but I can't find a way to review anything on Google Play. So.
Yeah, Google Play's got
some. It's Google. They like algorithms instead of actual human interaction.
It's got
so.
Some play to it, yeah. In all fairness, was founded on an algorithm. So, you know.
It's done well for them.
Yeah. Again, stick to your brand, guys.
All right. So, that is going to be it for our DCEU news. Aside from the fact that I gotta mention this. I don't know why. Coolio said that he was gonna be Scarecrow.
I thought I saw that.
In the sequel to Batman and Robin.
I thought I saw that.
And he says, I doubt they'd be coming knocking on my door now or come calling now or something. I'm like, no shit, buddy. Coolio.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, these days you see Coolio in the news and you go, that was a thing.
I forget what I saw he was doing recently. Shit.
Yeah, someone's going to be really angry with me. Someone's going to be like, I like Coolio. Twitter. And I'm sorry. I mean, I did too. I owned Gangsta's Paradise. I mean, who the hell didn't?
Oh, who can't recite at least a couple lines from that? It's...
Oh, I can recite way more than a couple lines. I know the entirety of Ghetto Highlights. I know the entirety of Gangsta's Paradise. I know way too much of that album.
Oh, God. I forget what I saw he was doing recently, but it was interesting. Well,
one,
damn.
1, 2, 3, 4, get your woman on the floor. Anyway, we are DC on screen. Not Coolio on screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com eventually. It's taken me a little while to get them up. Like I upload them to the feed, and then I upload them to DC on screen.
And then time takes its toll.
Oh, man. Does it ever. We are proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. By the way, they just started a new podcast called Botched, which is a D&D / game podcast. It's a really cool idea. Go check that out.
Yeah, it did look cool.
GiantSizeTeamUp.com. We are going to be coming back with a DC TV news episode, because that's how we roll. We give you so much free content. Because we, I don't know. It seems like, I think we might actually have some sort of compulsive disorder.
Yeah, it's a bit of an OCD.
Anyway.
I only notice it somewhere in hour 9 of gathering news.
Like, good old hour 9.
Like, up to hour, like, 5 of gathering news, you're just kind of, like, doing it. And then between, like, 6 and 8, there's, like, this period of hysteria where you think you're about to have a panic attack and you realize, like, no, I'm just dehydrated. I haven't eaten or drinking, or drank in, like, 8 hours. And
right.
Somewhere in hour 9, you realize, oh, this is a thing. This is an actual pathology.
Yep. So, anyway, also Batman Podcast Network, because that is also how we roll, and I think I said that's how we roll earlier, and I can't remember, so just pretend that I did if I didn't.
You know, though, but we're still rolling.
We are still rolling.
That's how that metaphor works.
We are. So, until the DC TV news episode, keep some DC on your screen.